So I'd like to start tonight's talk with a story that I had found years ago that I supposedly true that I just loved. It starts with two boys walked down a road that led through a field. The younger of the two noticed a man toiling in the fields of his farm, his good clothes stacked neatly off to the side. A thought came to the younger boy, and he said, "Let's hide his shoes so that when he comes from the field, he won't be able to find them. His expression will be priceless," the boy laughed. The older of the two boys thought for a moment and said, "The man looks poor. See his clothes? Let's do this instead. Let's hide a silver dollar in each shoe, and then we'll hide in these bushes and see how he reacts to that instead." The younger companion agreed to the plan, and they placed a silver dollar in each shoe and hid behind the bushes. It wasn't long before the farmer came in from the field, tired and worn out. He reached down and pulled on a shoe, immediately feeling the money under his foot. He reached down and pulled on a shoe, immediately feeling the money under his foot. With the coin now between his fingers, he looked around to see who could have put it in his shoe, but no one was there. He held the dollar in his hand and stared at it in disbelief. Confused, he slid his other foot into the other shoe and felt the second coin. This time, the man was overwhelmed when he removed the second silver dollar from his shoe. Thinking he was alone, he dropped to his knees and offered a verbal prayer that the boys could easily hear from their hiding place. They heard the poor farmer cry tears of relief and gratitude. He spoke of his sick wife and his boys in need of food. He expressed gratitude for this unexpected bounty from unknown hands. After a time, the boys came out of their hiding place and slowly started their walk home. They felt good inside, warm, changed somehow, knowing the good they had done to a poor farmer in dire straits. A smile crept across their hearts. So as I told you before, the theme tonight is gratitude, and it's a long time in coming. I had a fellow who came to one of my talks, and he said, "So where does gratitude fit into Buddhism?" And I said, good question. You know, because it's not on any of the lists. There are many lists that the Buddha put down of things to practice, things to be aware of. And I said, "Well, you know, I'll look into it and I'll get back with you." And I looked into it and I saw that gratitude was a really big deal in Buddhism, but I just hadn't known these teachings before. And then I was looking for the man to tell him what I'd learned about gratitude, and he never came back. But I had it on my heart to talk about it someday. And then last week I teach mindfulness at a recovery center in town, 4 classes a week. And I picked up this orange piece of paper that was on the floor. I was going to throw it away. And I noticed that it had writing on it. So I looked at it to make sure it wasn't important. And it said, "What is going to support you most in your recovery process?" And this is a recovery center where people are in active recovery from addiction. They've been to the hospital to detoxify, and now they're living in a recovery center with constant support. And whoever this piece of paper was, "What will support me most in my recovery process is gratitude." And then this person went on to explain, "I feel a tremendous gratitude that I have been able to be in this recovery program. I have gratitude that I still have my health and my mental well-being is still present. I feel amazing appreciation that my parents have not disowned me and they're continuing to support me even after all that I've put them through." And it was just, you know, I started to feel teary-eyed. Because here's this person struggling. Almost, you know, these people, a lot of them die. Addiction is not, active, severe addiction. They have to be really suffering to be in this recovery center. And to feel that much gratitude, you know, recovery is a spiritual healing process. Anyone who's been through recovery knows we've recovered, a lot of us have recovered from addiction of some sort or another. Recovering from life, right, or illness or sickness. And gratitude is such a healing force. It's a really important part of our practice, healing force. So this is what the Buddha said. It's in the Anguttara Nikaya, if you want to look it up, 2.18. He said, these two people are hard to find in the world. Which two? The one who is first to do a kindness, and the one who is grateful and thankful for a kindness done. Yeah. So I found that gratitude is one of the sweetest practices that we can have, and one of the most powerful practices for cultivating a happier, more peaceful mind. And it requires the least amount of effort and sacrifice in order to practice gratitude, with the greatest amount of gains for your return for the energy put into it. So, and it's very, very powerful mindfulness practice, right? So when I first started practicing mindfulness, I had pretty much gratitude was not on my list of things to pay attention to. In fact, I was very negative and fearful and constantly looking for what was wrong and worrying about what was going to go wrong and holding on to negative things that were not supporting me. And mindfulness practice started to change all that, just being aware of what was here in the moment. You know, at first it was like drudging through a lot of negative, difficult, painful stuff, and I was like, wow, this is really hard. But eventually the mind started to transform and start to be fully present with the beauty and the joy and the peace and the love that exists in my family, in my communities, in my life, in my heart. And I'll never forget, I was on a retreat. And I know I probably told this story before, but I was doing walking meditation back and forth. And it was like an 83-degree day. It was beautiful. The sun was out. It hadn't rained for days. It was 1 o'clock p.m., you know. And I stopped before this tree, and the sunlight was streaming right through the leaves in such a beautiful way. And you know, the rays sometimes can look really magical coming through. And I was transfixed by the beauty of the sun and the warmth of my skin and the breeze. And suddenly, right before me on this leaf was this huge drop of water. To me, it was huge, but it was a drop of water. And it was so beautiful. And I could see my face in this drop. And then behind my face, I could see the whole universe behind me. All in this little drop of water. Right? And I had this instant insight that everything in the universe is contained in this one drop of water. And that I'm just part of this drop of water. I know it sounds, you know, you're probably like, oh, she's tripping, you know. And I probably was, but on mindfulness, on meditation. But you have these deep insights where you realize that you lose the rigidity of who you think you are. with this constant mental, you know, obsessing over every little detail of life and worrying about how people are perceiving us and, you know, will I get it right? Will I get it straight? Will I be accepted? Will I have enough? You know, all of the normal fears that we get obsessed by, that stops us from being fully present. And when we do this practice, we're constantly coming back to the moment and choosing to be fully here and fully alive and fully engaged, and we open to this moment and we see a dewdrop that came out of freaking nowhere. Where did it come from, right? And it shows you that you're just one integral, small part of a huge universe that's interconnected in such a powerful way. And there was, when we're fully present in this moment, there's so much gratitude, and there's mystery, and there's aliveness. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? It's amazing. So the Buddha said that the human birth is so precious and worthy of gratitude. And he used one of his famous analogies, was that it's so precious and rare to be born a human being that it's as rare as if a blind turtle who was swimming in a great huge ocean and you threw a round yoke, small hoop into the ocean, and the chances of the turtle's head coming up with the blind turtle through that one little hoop or that yoke is the chances of being born a human. And it's very, very precious. And so then he goes on to say, don't waste this precious human birth. It's such a rare and beautiful and wonderful opportunity. Because in this human birth, we can choose to let go of struggle, let go of suffering, let go of what's keeping us entrenched in fear and worry and drama, right? Instead, we can choose to open up to the mystery and the beauty of life and the preciousness of being here. And then the deep, beautiful connections we have with other human beings is just an added benefit to this whole process. The Buddha, would often instruct his monks and female and male monks to go to the forest, sit at the base of a tree, and begin gladdening the heart by reflecting on all their series of fortunate events that they've had in their lives and circumstances. And then, as well as all the series of fortunate events and circumstances that led them to this practice and led them to this the Dharma, you know, to opening their hearts to this practice, to this truth, to awakening, to letting go. Right? So reflect on this. You know, each of us, with all of our flaws and karma, whatever we came here with, we have this golden opportunity to consciously taste life. Right? To know what it is, to feel things on this planet, to feel different textures, to see different colors, to hear different sounds, to wake up in the morning to a whole new adventure each day, to not know what's going to happen. It's like watching this constant movie that we don't know, well, we don't know the plot, but we sure can be alive and present for it. It's quite the mystery, life. So why practice gratitude? You know, anyone who's read Rick Hansen here, he's a neuropsychologist. He's also a Buddhist teacher. But He says that the brain is Teflon to the positive and Velcro to the negative. And I think in one of his YouTube that I watched years ago, he said we're like 10, the brain, human brain is like 10 times more likely to focus on the negative than the positive. Right? So we're actually wired to do that. And I think Paul was telling me about some famous relationship therapist who said it takes 6 positive experiences in a relationship to negate 1 negative experience. Is that right? So that's how powerful negative experiences are. They really, I mean, look back in your history and your memory. Most of us remember the most negative things in our history. The memories even programmed that way, to remember the negative things, not necessarily as many of the positive. A lot of the human brain, because we're wired this way, are in crisis management mode. You know, wanting to put out the little fires that are going and constantly looking for problems or reading the negative news or what can I be worried about today? What can I be upset about today? Right? We hear of a little drama and everybody comes together. What? Who said what? Who said, you know? So humans are addicted to drama, whether it's on the television or the news or in relationships. And then we have this comparing mind. Anybody have comparing mind? It compares themselves to others and this to that, and right? Comparing mind leads to negativity almost all the time. Someone's got it better, someone's got it worse. And all of this stuff is promoted and cultivated by capitalism. Capitalistic society. Have you noticed that? Right? So there are a lot of shadow, there's a lot of shadow side to our culture that we need to look at that supports us in having a negative mind state. So we actually want to cultivate positive mind states. And gratitude, like I said, there's great bang for your buck with gratitude practices. But we have to start doing it really intentionally, looking for things that we can feel grateful for regularly. I had a friend a couple years ago. She was my gratitude buddy. We decided to be gratitude buddies. And every day we emailed each other 3 things that we felt grateful for that day. We did this for several months, and then I guess we both got tired of emailing each other things. But I kept a gratitude journal for quite a while after that. Until feeling gratitude felt like a natural thing for me. But I had to intentionally look for things to be grateful for several months. But it was a great practice. But there's a shadow side to gratitude, too, that we want to be really careful that we're not moving on the unskillful side of gratitude. And let me just give you an example of that. We can use gratitude to spiritually bypass difficulty. Right? So in Buddhist practice, we're teaching constantly everyone, including ourselves, to be present with whatever our experience is, to bring clarity, clear seeing of whatever our experience is, to bring compassion to our experience, whether it's positive, neutral, or negative. Right? To bring a loving, caring attention to it. And then, of course, feeling gratitude for whatever there is to feel gratitude for, but not because something negative happens. Okay, I'm just going to think of what I have to feel fortunate of instead. Instead of feeling this pain, I mean, let me focus on what I have to feel gratitude for. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to bypass this pain and go right to the gratitude. And that's an unskillful way of dealing with our situation. We're bypassing it. I'll give you an example. I was in a new relationship, and my partner's ex decided to try and ruin us financially and started suing us for every, you know, making up false claims that we attacked her, just all kinds of crazy stuff. So we were in court and dealing with attorneys, at least one complaint a month, if not more. And I went through my whole savings. My ex was going through all of his savings, you know, $150, $200 an hour dealing with all of these complaints. And it was really stressful. And I hit rock bottom when I realized I went through all my savings and we were going through everything. And he had lost his architecture firm because 9/11 had happened. So everybody quit building in Raleigh where we lived. But long story. I called my mother and I was just sobbing. I really needed some support because I felt like we were losing everything, financially, emotionally, and the stress. And I called her and I said, I can't handle this anymore. I'm just so stressed out financially and emotionally and just exhausted with this whole thing. And she said something to me like, well, at least you don't have cancer. Or at least you don't have the terrible leukemia or the blood or something like that. So just feel thankful that you don't have whatever. And this is, I don't know why I expected anything different, because this was how she dealt with emotional difficulty. But I remember feeling really hurt that she couldn't be there with me or for me during a time when I really needed her to be there with me. But this is an example of spiritual bypassing, right? We don't want to do that for ourselves, and we certainly don't want to do it with others. So let's not use gratitude to feel to bypass things. Because commitment to gratitude practices does not deny the truth of whatever's here in the moment. Right? In fact, it's here to help us be more honest about what's happening in the moment. I used to run a check cashing business, and my manager, I heard him cursing one day. And, you know, there weren't any customers. Someone had just left, and I heard him cursing and slamming stuff around. I said, Porter, what's wrong? And he said, if one more damn person says it's all good, I'm going to smack somebody. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they come in here, I ask them how they're doing, they complain for 10 minutes straight without taking a breath, and they say, but it's all good. And he said, I don't want to hear it anymore. And I said, well, quit asking people how they're doing then. Anyhow. But, you know, when we're in the midst of difficulty, we're not going to sit there and feel gratitude for the difficulty, because we're right then dealing with whatever, the onslaught of whatever's happening. But as our practice deepens, we're going to realize that there's a gem here, there's a jewel here. Maybe I'm not seeing what it is yet, but eventually I'm going to see the jewel. Because any one of us can look back over our lives and see the gems and jewels that we've ended up getting out of very difficult experiences. What we've learned, what we've gained. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I feel an amazing amount of gratitude for some of the most difficult things that have happened to me in my life. Here's Henry Thoreau. He went into retreat at Walden Pond and he wrote this. I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. So he understood that conscious life was a gift, right, to have gratitude towards, and that to be alive, to see all the depths of our experience. We can only feel gratitude when we're here, right? The depths of our experience, the depth of life, all the intricate nuances of life. Life is an amazing gift. So there's a certain, the Buddha talked about surrounding ourselves with positive people, surrounding ourselves with wise people, not surrounding ourselves with unwise people or negative people, right? There's a reason why he said to do this. Because we're trying to cultivate a happier, more peaceful, wise mind. And when we can surround ourselves with people of like mind, that helps bring these seeds into fruition within ourselves. Right? And when we start to feel these seeds grow, we realize that we have a first-class front-row seat to the privilege of knowing life firsthand, to being here, for being alive, for experiencing the preciousness, the love that exists all around us. Most of my friends know that I'll be engaging with them, but if a child comes up, I'm totally transfixed by the child. I start flirting with them, joking with them, making faces, because the child is doing the same with me. Do you know what I mean? They don't have the pretenses. They don't have the masks. They don't have the fears. They're just real, and they're raw, and they're beautiful, and they're vulnerable. They're alive. And they'll play with me, and I'll play with them, right? And feel an amazing amount of gratitude for children. And I feel really sad that we lost that somewhere along the line. We lost that playfulness. We lost that ability to just be a child. The light, the love, the joy, seeing things through children's eyes. They talk about having don't know mind and seeing everything for the first time. When we're fully present, we start to see things for the first time. So every time Scott walks in the door, I get to experience Scott all over again, right? Or whomever. And practicing this seeing everyone for the first time over and over and over again. It takes a lot of intention, effort, but it's certainly worth it for our relationships, definitely for our relationships and for our own peace of mind. So the practice, of course, is just to be focusing on whatever you can be grateful for, and there's so many different ways to do that. And I'm sure there's a lot of wisdom in this room as to what supports you in your own gratitude practice, and what doesn't support you in your gratitude practice, and knowing that we're not going to feel gratitude every minute of every day, but feeling gratitude for the times that we do feel gratitude, right? And being open to the many gifts that life has to offer. Don't be on your deathbed wishing that you were alive for your own life. Instead, feeling gratitude for all the moments you were here. You did choose to be alive. You did choose to open your heart. You did choose to be here for your own life. So those are just a few things that have come to my heart talking about gratitude. There's so much more. But thank you for your presence and your listening.